Bonde Hong.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 10, 2001 in New Brajadhan, Hungary.
Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha.
Hare Krishna. I thank you very much for coming this evening. It is my very great fortune and pleasure to be with you. For several years, I have been hearing about the glorious activities taking place here at New Brajadham. I have been longing to come for years. When His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj invited me on several occasions, I felt that for my spiritual survival, I must obey his desires. Now that I am here, I am so very happy to see. To personally experience the great miracle that takes place when a great devotee surrenders to the will of his spiritual master. Within the Hare Krishna movement, some years ago, the country of Hungary was very unknown. But now devotees are coming to Hungary from all over the world to learn how to be Krishna conscious. At this moment, I'm feeling extremely ashamed because His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj asked me to give a class about the various activities of our temple in Bombay, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, and how they are trying to train and serve the devotees. But after experiencing kirtan this morning and seeing the happy devotees here, I'm thinking that we should all come here to learn from you. Like trying to serve the sun planet by offering a candle. I have come to learn from you. However, His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj has ordered me to speak on the subject, so I must obey. Especially since he's coming from behind. I was thinking of another subject, but now that he is here, I must place Shivaram Maharaj's lotus feet on my head and try to obey. His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj, his scholarly literatures, which are imbued with such sweet devotion, are conquering the hearts of devotees all over the world. But Srila Prabhupada taught us that what is in the books must be demonstrated by the lives of the devotees if we are actually going to have an impact in people's hearts. Coming here to New Brajadham is to see actually the life of Vrindavan. We're all walking as dancing, all speaking as the singing of kirtan, and everyone is constantly attracted by Krishna's divine flute. Trey Das Prabhu is telling me that the title of today's discussion is Devotees Are the Greatest Assets. This has been personally demonstrated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he appears in this world. We find in the Lila of Lord Sri Krishna how he personally washed the feet of his devotee Sudama in his palace of Dwarka. How he personally took the chipped rice from Sudama and considered it more wonderful than the foods offered by the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. This was to show the world how dear is that devotee to the Lord who sacrifices everything in his loving service. Recently, our dear godbrother, Janani Bas, the pujari from Mayapur, came to our temple. He was explaining that Vrindavan life is simply one big family. And to create the Vrindavan spirit in this world, we have to create a family environment amongst the Vaishnavas. In this world, the nature of a good family is, no matter what, they are committed to each other. We have all taken shelter under the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is the founder acharya of our society. He wanted to create an international family of Vaishnavas. It is very important that we understand the value of each and every devotee that comes to this mission. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the role of a devotee to teach us how to be a devotee. He would wash the clothes of His devotees. He would fold them and carry loads to their houses with His own hands. He would personally bring them tilak. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that the reason the Lord performed these activities is to show the world that there is no greater principle of religion than serving the Vaishnavas. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in this age of Kali, there are two religious principles, Harinam Sankirtan and service to the devotees. Real religion means to please Krishna. Lord Chaitanya personally explained that all the planets in all of creation and all the wealth within them is not equal in value to one devotee. This is what is in the Lord's heart. We are here to please the Lord, what determines all of our spiritual progress. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that greatest of Paramhamsas, he prayed in this way, that I offer my respects and worship the lotus feet of every devotee. Not only the great Paramhamsa Acharyas, but even the brand new devotee who is just coming to the path of bhakti, I worship their lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Naham viprona cha naravatira napi vaisya na shudra. I am not a Brahmin, ikshatriya vaisya or shudra. I am not a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. My true identity and my real aspiration is to be gopi bhartu pada kamalayor dasa dasa anudas, to be the insignificant, menial servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees. It should be very deeply imbibed within our heart the great fortune we have to serve the Vaishnavas. During the Mahaprakash Leela at the house of Srivas Thakur in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving benedictions to his most intimate associates. The Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, he only prayed for one boon, not for elevation to Goloka or Vaikuntha, not for liberation, mystic powers, or any heavenly possessions. His only request to the Lord was, please grant me one boon, that in every birth that I may take in the future, I will have the supreme fortune of receiving the remnants from the plates of your devotees' food. Let me take birth as a dog in the home of your devotee, so I will always get the scraps of his maha maha prasad. I'm too much addicted to the desire to be seen as an important person. Let me be the humble servant of the servant of your devotees. It is because Haridas Thakur had this consciousness that he was able to chant the holy names constantly. Trinadapi Sayachena, Tadorapi Sayeshtana, Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. To be humble like the grass, to be tolerant like the tree, to be eager to offer all respects to others, and to expect no respect for oneself. In this way, Haridas Thakur demonstrated how he could chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Lord Chaitanya called him the Namacharya, which means he is teaching by his example how to chant Hare Krishna.
So we must philosophically understand the conviction that pleasing the Vaishnavas is the means of pleasing Krishna. Lord Kapila Dev said that the Brahmins are offering pure ghee in the tongue of the fire, which is Vishnu himself. And they are offering me wonderful bhoga. But I am most pleased to eat nice prasad through the mouths of my devotees. When Srila Prabhupada first came to the Western world, there were all odds against him to be successful. He had no money, no support. He only had deep faith in the instruction of his spiritual master and in the holy names of Krishna. How each person that came forward who took any type of interest in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada considered them such rare and special souls. There was one prospective devotee, very poor, somewhat of a failure in material society. His mind was not very normal, but he was sincere. He wanted to chant Hare Krishna and hear from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would spend hours at a time with him, carefully, systematically teaching him about Krishna. He loved him so dearly. This person told me that he went shopping with Srila Prabhupada because Prabhupada wanted to cook some prasad for him. Prabhupada never went shopping in America before. So I don't know how it is in Hungary, but in America, when you go to a supermarket, everything is labeled with price and they put it on cash register and you pay what the ticket says. So the ticket came after the cash register was done. And she said, this will cost you $12. Prabhupada said, I will give you $5. This is the system in India. The lady said, sir, it's $12. He said, no, it's not worth $12. I can get it somewhere else for $5. She said, sir, you go somewhere else. We don't do things like this in this country. So he stuck to $5. But he was so sweet and so pure. But finally the cashier took the balance from her own purse. She took Prabhupada's $5, and then she took $7 from her own purse and put it in cash register. And when Prabhupada cooked a whole feast, personally served this devotee, washed the pots, then would lay down on left side with this devotee and just talk about Krishna. Later on, when they obtained 26 Second Avenue, many very sincere devotees were coming. This person was always troubled. He never joined. Sometimes he would call Srila Prabhupada in the middle of the night, and Prabhupada was always there to help him. At the beginning of our society, 26 Second Avenue, and later in Frederick Street in San Francisco, Her Grace Malati Mataji can give unlimited stories about Srila Prabhupada's love and care for the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada was literally the father, the mother, the friend, the guide, the guru, the doctor, the well-wisher, the psychiatrist. He was everything for the devotees. When devotees were sick, Prabhupada would very carefully encourage them, even make medicine for them. One of my godbrothers was telling me that in Prabhupada's last days, Prabhupada couldn't walk. He was so old and close to the end of his lila. they would have to carry him on a chair up the stairs of his room in Vrindavan to the veranda where they would give him massage. This one devotee was carrying Prabhupada's chair from behind. At one point, that devotee jerked a little and went, ah! When they got to the top, Srila Prabhupada, who hadn't eaten in weeks, who was emaciated, and the doctor said that condition is unbearable pain in every part of his body. He asked this young, healthy Western devotee, why did you go like this noise? He said, I have a boil on my leg, and the chair touched the boil, and it hurt. But it's not a problem, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, get pen and paper. He told him a special Ayurvedic traditional recipe. Getting oil and different spices and boiling them for so much time, and then he said, apply it. And every day after that, Prabhupada would ask to see and how the boil felt. This devotee has had a lot of problems in his Krishna consciousness since then. But practically 25 years later, with tears in his eyes, he told me, this experience which Srila Prabhupada is keeping me in Krishna consciousness. Such a great person taking such personal care for me. This is the way Srila Prabhupada personally maintained the enthusiasm and the faith of the Vaishnavas by his personal care. Many of the beginning devotees in 22nd Avenue couldn't really understand the philosophy so much, but they never experience anyone who genuinely loved them as much as Prabhupada. Therefore, they opened their hearts completely to hear what he spoke. And when they heard the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, they were convinced.
Due to his pure, empowered devotional service, ISKCON began to expand all over the world. Tens and thousands of people coming to offer their lives in the service of Lord Krishna. At that point, Srila Prabhupada expected his leaders to take that role in the devotees' lives. When Srila Prabhupada would come to temples, he was often very, very much concerned with the quality of the prasad that the devotees were eating. He wanted devotees to live a simple and austere life, but they should feel the real opulence of association of devotees. Our godbrother Dhananjay Prabhu told us during the first Mayapur festival, there was only that one building, and it was only a construction site. Dhananjay Prabhu, I believe, was guarding. In the middle of the night, Srila Prabhupada was walking throughout the whole area where the devotees were sleeping to make sure they had mosquito nets. Very much concerned that even in those simple conditions that the devotees were comfortable and cared for by the leaders. Srila Prabhupada gave us the ultimate philosophy, perfect and complete in every respect, the most satisfying spiritual culture. However, devotees have left because they did not feel cared for in the association of devotees. Recently, one of the senior most devotees of our movement was telling me a story. Her sister was one of the dear most disciples of Srila Prabhupada from the very beginning. Some years later, Srila Prabhupada came to the temple she was staying, and she was complaining to Srila Prabhupada that what you are teaching us and what you gave us is not what the devotees are doing. When you are here, everyone is very, very at their best in Krishna consciousness. But when you are not here, Srila Prabhupada, you won't believe how devotees are treating each other. There's very little respect or care. Devotees are treating each other not as you have taught us. They're harsh, even sometimes cruel and ill-mannered toward each other. She had faith in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but she lost faith that it could be practically practiced in this world. She left our society, and it was a great blow to Srila Prabhupada's heart. Understanding this principle, His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj often gives seminars and lectures about the importance of creating a Vaishnava culture. Because in order for people to really have deep faith in our philosophy, they have to see how it works in their practical lives. Basic Vaishnava culture is to understand how devotees are supposed to associate with one another. Every devotee has to feel that they have a significant and important role to play within our society. Whether a devotee has the strength of Hanuman or that little spider, every devotee should feel that they are loved and appreciated. We have to create an environment of association in which a devotee will be inspired to carry on chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, speaking about Krishna, and practicing the nine processes of devotional service their whole life. Becoming a pure devotee is usually a lifetime process. Somehow or other, our attention has to be to maintain the faith and the inspiration in every devotee so that they will continue chanting their 16 rounds, continue hearing about Krishna, and continue preaching Krishna consciousness till they die. One of the great mistakes that is often committed is short-sighted vision. Prabhupada called it penny wise, pounds foolish. I'll give you an example. Malati Mataji and myself are coming from New Vrindavan. At one time at New Vrindavan, there was a tremendous amount of concern for the welfare of devotees. But then the community became very, very project-oriented. Now, Srila Prabhupada very much wanted our movement to be project-oriented. However, we have to have a proper vision of the project. He wanted the projects not only to be built, but to be sustained and to expand year after year after year. So there was millions of dollars collected, incredible buildings erected, but in the process, there was no emphasis for the care of families or children or the people's health or even their basic sadhana. At one time, it was about 700 full-time devotees who were really deeply inspired and committed to surrender their entire lives for Krishna service. Because they were convinced by Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and by the culture of devotional service. So a grand community was built. But after some years, the families disintegrated because they never really were taught how to be grihasthas. The children wanted nothing to do with Krishna consciousness as they grew older because they were never really felt loved and cared for. The brahmacharis couldn't remain brahmacharis because they were living a life where they were just production-oriented rather than developing their bhakti. And now there's incredible buildings that are all crumbling to pieces. And there's no longer 700 full-time devotees, maybe 25. And many people who are bitter that they gave the best years of their lives and they weren't cared for. And many who have lost their faith. Many have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, but not in our society. And we may say that they're in Maya, and it is true they are in Maya. But the purpose of our society is to protect people from Maya. It's easy to say that you're in Maya. The real challenge is to inspire a person in such a way that they come out of Maya. We should learn from our mistakes and the mistakes of others. And with this in mind, when we first went to Bombay to develop a temple there, under very mysterious and inconceivable circumstances, which we will not discuss today, it was a very tiny temple. It was in a building with three high schools, a yoga institute, and a stocking manufacturing company, and a medical pharmacy, and an orphanage. And we took charge of the orphanage, which gave us possession of one little room about a fifth the size of this temple room. And there was just about five, six brahmacharis that came from some other place. And when I arrived, I wasn't allowed to give class because the leader of the brahmacharis didn't want anyone in a higher position than him. And the brahmacharis were preaching in such a way, condemning that grihasthas are just attached to women and attached to sex life and they're fallen souls. And meanwhile, some of the brahmacharis were having affairs with the daughters of the congregation. The brahmacharis used to argue with each other. Sometimes there were fist fights. Any valuable donation that was given to the temple, tape recorder or anything, was stolen by the brahmachari, sold in some marketplace to send the money to his family. So in so many words, it was a hellish condition. So we were thinking that brahmachari should be exemplary. They should be sadhus who give faith of very high standards to the congregation. It came to the point where some of the grihasthas in the congregation were going to bring the brahmacharis to court to put them in prison. So somehow we removed some of the brahmacharis and started with practically nothing. And gradually, if you have high standards, you attract serious people who want something good. If you have low standards, you'll attract people who want to cheat. This was our experience. There are people who are genuinely seeking real spiritual enlightenment in this world. Srila Prabhupada's books have been distributed by the tens and millions. How many people who have read these books and really take a genuine interest that this is the truth, they come to the temple and we never even know about them. One person told me that he has been coming to the temple as a guest for 25 years. He said, the reason I do this is because as long as I'm a guest, everyone treats me nicely. But I see the way devotees treat each other and I don't want to have that relationship. Of course, all of you here at New Praja Dham do not have that problem at all. But you should understand that this is potentially a problem everywhere. So we try to develop the best possible culture where devotees could really learn how to associate with one another in such a way that they will develop what Prabhupada said, love and trust. Within the congregation of grihasthas, we were thinking that our parampara is based on the principle of a teacher and a student. That the grihasthas, we found about four of them who were quite serious, somewhat senior. And we asked them if they could take the role, something like Shiksha Gurus, to actually accept responsibility for younger grihasthas' spiritual development. It is one thing to preach. It's another thing to take personal, serious responsibility for people's spiritual lives. That is often a very essential aspect of preaching. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that you make advancement according to how you take on responsibility in Krishna consciousness. So we began this system. We call it a counselor system, or a spiritual counselor, but His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj prefers the word Shiksha Guru, where the husband and wife work as a team to try to educate, train, and give basic practical guidance in every aspect of their counselees or their subordinates' spiritual lives. How to actually make your home a temple. How husband and wife should overcome various difficulties in a spirit of devotion. How men should deal with other women outside of their wives. How women should deal with other men besides their husband. How to actually balance their financial necessities with their sadhana and their basic devotional offerings to the temple. Shri Shri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai. So we continue tomorrow. If you want to hear the rest tomorrow at 5:30, we'll try to explain some of the ideas, and then we'll have questions and answers. And once again, I beg forgiveness for speaking to all of you who actually are practicing something much higher than what we are. But even if you offer a lamp to the sun may give some blessing. So I'm praying for your mercy. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.